Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current series, I interview the owners of four very different graphic design businesses, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the final one of this series, and I interview Shine Webster, who's based in Huntington Beach, California. Shine is one impressive gal. Quite honestly, she blew me away because she's still in college getting her graphic design degree and running a very successful design business. While listening to this episode, pay attention to how Shine uses content marketing and an affiliate program to generate new clients for her business. Welcome to another episode of Marketing That Generates, and I am here with Shine Webster today. Shine is a brand designer, visual art enthusiast, self-proclaimed storyteller, and within her design business, she encourages female multi-passionates to cultivate lucrative brands that are rooted in their whole human identities and help them stand out in their markets by simply being themselves. Welcome, Shine. I'm pumped to have you here today.
Hi, Lauren. Thanks so much for having me. I'm super stoked.
Yeah. So you have a really unique design philosophy, and you've built a business helping female business owners with their branding. I'd love to learn a little more about your services and just to share with our audience your human-centric design focus.
Yeah. So I offer all kinds of graphic design services, but my specialty really is anything brand-related. So most commonly that starts off with brand design, you know, your logos, your colors, your fonts, your brand story and things like that. And, you know, social media templates, branded Instagram graphics, email marketing and stuff like that. Some of my clients also come to me for like lead magnet / passive income design since I do a little bit of everything, including print and layout. But one thing that's special is also that I deliver GIFs to my clients, which is really cool because I am a motion design concentration in my degree. And so animation is fun for me, and to just kind of tag that onto my clients' branding, I create custom GIFs for them. So when it comes to my design philosophy, though, honestly, the way that I look at it and when I view branding, I don't think of it so much as just your business. Like you said, I do take a really human-centric approach. And so I really look at your brand as just a reflection of who you are as a person. If you have a personal brand, then your brand really should just show who you are. And I really adopt the, I guess, point of view that you're more than a business owner. And so I really try to holistically reflect my clients through their branding. So capturing things like their inspiration, important memories, even things from their childhood or personal life, I really kind of tap into all of those things so that your branding can feel as you and as authentic as possible. And I think a little bit of that often gets lost, which is why I have made it such a point in my brand and what I do for my clients. Because at the end of the day, we all have to kind of just sit with ourselves and live with the choices that we make. And we're working so hard and putting so much time and energy into our businesses. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter much if we're not feeling personally fulfilled and if we're not satisfied with it. So that's why I really try to create branding that excites you and lights you up and that you can really sit with and just love no matter the numerical results.
Yeah. So I really, well, there's a bunch of things there that I love. But first of all, just highlight, you know, that you create, and I can never say it right, but that you create GIFs, right? Not GIFs, GIFs.
I say both. It depends.
I love that because I think that's so unique and something that really stands out on social media and feels really tied into anyone who does have a personal brand and needs some unique GIFs to make them stand out. I think that's really special and not something that everyone can offer.
Yeah, I agree. I think first off, they're just really fun. They're a lot more interesting than just kind of static images. And honestly, they just create that atmosphere. I'm really all about community. And so a good way to get people tied in or invested into whatever you're sharing on socials is GIFs, because they can kind of relate to those. They can even use them. And just seeing something that feels you on your story or on your emails or something like that just kind of helps double down on that personal impression and connection to your audience.
Totally. And I think your design philosophy makes a lot of sense, especially for a personal brand where you really want a congruent experience between your marketing assets and your design assets to what you experience on the back end. And when you're a personal brand, the business is you or a portion of you in some sort of way. So creating a consistent experience from creative to the end product, I think, is a really smart strategy.
Yes, I totally agree. I honestly think that everything that you do as a business is branding. Anytime someone has an experience with you, whether that's you on the client side of things, you on social media, the way your team handles email responses and customer support, like all of those things are branding because they do combine into the overall impression that, the audience or client on the other end is receiving. So I think it's super important to have that consistency and that common thread through all of those things, like you said, on both sides.
Yeah, that's really awesome, and it's certainly reflected in what you do online. I think you even mentioned, gosh, there was a post about, your brand. I think you just posted it today. It was a beautiful metaphor about your brand and used a palm tree and the leaves
Yeah.
and the roots, and you really did a good job explaining your philosophy in this post. So I really love that.
Thank you. I try. I'm always down for a good illustration slash analogy, and I'm just constantly talking about my approach to branding because I feel like it really resonates with people in a way that's more than just, oh, here's the value of a logo. So thanks so much. I'm really glad to know that that resonates with you.
Yeah, totally. So, Shine, you're kind of in a unique position right now with your business, and I just wanted to know, why did you start it? What inspired you to venture off on your own? And you're also still in college and finishing up your degree. So how do you balance school and business? I mean, I'm just so fascinated by your story, and not many people start their business while they're in school. So yeah, I'd love to hear more.
Yeah, so this is kind of funny. I always say that I started my business on accident because Designed by Shine really, really started in 2019, the summer after I got out of high school. I was trying to do some like digital illustrations and really just get familiar with software that I would be using in college. And I drew these drawings after going to the US Open of Surfing here at Huntington Beach in California. And they were like very surf inspired, and they were just really cool. And I showed my friends, and they were like, oh my gosh, these would look amazing on t-shirts. So then I started selling t-shirts and stickers of my art. And then for the following 8 months, that's kind of what I just continued. I had launched a second collection of clothes. And then it wasn't until I met my first business coach in 2020, actually from a coaching scholarship, that I decided to start viewing my business as a business and pivot to providing my services. So when I was selling t-shirts and stuff, I was never really thinking of it as a business. I honestly, this is kind of bad. I'm exposing myself, but I didn't even really keep track of the finances. I just knew, okay, I'm profiting something and I'm having fun and people love it, and that's all that matters. I was totally not in the entrepreneur mindset yet. And so that's been a big shift for me. Now I'm very much into, CEO embodiment and really just trying to grow something sustainable. And I still love creating apparel and more artistic stuff, but that's more of kind of like a personal passion project, and something for me and my friends. But now, yeah, I'm running this business. I plan to scale it into an agency one day, hopefully, and still balancing college. So I'm a sophomore in college. I have 2 more years. It's a lot. But what I've realized, especially the past couple of weeks with the new semester starting, is that balance is very unrealistic for me. I kind of adopt the mindset of priorities over balance because not everything in my life deserves equal attention. And I don't want to give equal importance to things that are of less importance in reality. And so for me now, school is still a priority, but it's not the highest priority. School is just kind of helping me refine my craft as a designer and learn. But I'm doing what I love in my business. And so that's a really, really high priority for me. And so now I'm kind of shifting the way I spend my time to reflect those priorities rather than feeling pressured and putting that strain on myself to give everything 100%, because there's just not enough of me to go around. And so I'm definitely working on my time management. I do have a VA and she is super helpful, but it's a lot of designing, a lot of projects because I am going to school for graphic design as well. So I'm handling a bunch of client projects and a bunch of school design projects. And sometimes the lines get blurred because I'm just on my laptop all day, but it's great. I love it. And I know the hard work is going to pay off.
I am just so blown away by your story because the lessons you've learned, most people take quite a lot longer to learn than you have. And most people can't juggle school and starting a business. I mean, that's just really awesome. And I have a few friends who've gone through graphic design school. They go to graphic design school to get the experience that you're getting in your business. So I really love that you've reframed school's important, but you've reframed, okay, how do I do both in a way that's going to work for me and my priorities?
Yes, absolutely. I'm actually in a portfolio class right now at school, and we're talking about deciding on, you know, whether you want to be a freelancer or work at an agency and marketing yourself in that way. And it's so funny to me because like, these are lessons that I had to learn when I started this business. And so luckily for me, I kind of have that experience already. And so like you said, yeah, it's just really all about reframing. So thanks. I'm trying to learn, trying to be a student to the process and just figuring it out. But yeah, it's a good time.
Totally. And you come out of design school with real portfolio projects, because oftentimes they're just your school projects that are on your portfolio when you first try and get hired. So I just think that's incredible. And I grew up in Newport, so I'm really familiar with the US Open. And I just, yeah, I was just scrolling down and looking at your shirts while you were chatting, and those designs are fabulous.
Yes, thank you so much. That's like so who I am. And that's just kind of where I'm rooted at personally. And even though I had to make a little bit of a pivot, you know, in my professional business, that's still, that influence is totally there. And so I just like to keep a little part of myself there. I definitely think I'll be revisiting those roots though. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you already hinted at how your business evolved from when you first got started until now, but I'd love to know what motivated you to focus on female entrepreneurs and personal brands. What motivated you to focus on branding specifically? How did that evolve for you since starting your business?
Yeah, well, honestly, to begin with, I was kind of just talking with my coach and I didn't know anything about an ideal client. I didn't know anything about a target audience, but she just asked me who I wanted to work with. And I knew that I wanted to work with other women just because I'm a very sociable person and I try not to take my work too seriously. Like, on one hand, I obviously totally fully recognize the value and the impact of what I do, but I still want it to feel very welcoming and casual and friendly and enjoyable. And so for me, working with other women is the best way to do that because we just develop so many friendships out of it. And so that's why I really like to work with other females, especially people who are, you know, either Gen Z or millennials, because we can just kind of bond over that. And I'm literally like, we're in each other's DMs, you know, we're hyping each other up in the comments. We talk about real life. And so it's way more fun and way more personal to just have that connection. And then as far as why I decided to really focus on branding and personal branding and how that's evolved, honestly, when I first started this business, my coach had asked me, you know, kind of where I wanted to go with my skills because I could design these things, but we wanted to kind of figure out a niche. And I literally wrote this down in my sketchbook. I said that I did not want to do logos. I did not want to do branding because it was way too traditional. It was way too obvious. Like, I just didn't want to do it. I wanted to do something that was a little bit more edgy and blah, 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 blah. And oh, how the turns have tabled. as it turns out, I love branding because it's just being you. Growing up, I was always very like dead set on being original and an individual and just like shining. And I realize now that branding is literally you just being who you are, sharing that with the world and making connections as a result of it, at least when it comes to a personal brand. And so
yeah,
I've learned that honestly through my clients and through business, because I didn't come into Designed by Shine with that mindset. I was just like, okay, like I'll design these logos. And I've learned so much kind of on the job, because as I've been doing these things for my clients and even getting their feedback and seeing the results happen to them in real time, I've realized how important branding is and how much deeper it can go than just, you know, pretty designs. And so I guess, honestly, just my clients and the journey yeah. has led me to focus on personal branding. And I just love it. I really feel like I'm kind of refining my craft in that way and really focusing on like the heart of it for myself personally. And I think that's really starting to shine through now, especially.
Yeah, well, your name is perfect because we get to talk about shining all day long.
Right.
So, okay, I have a couple questions, but I think the one I want to ask you first is, has getting more specific in that kind of way made it easier to market your business and attract the right type of clients your way?
I definitely think so. On the one hand, it is very clear who I'm repelling. And that's just kind of the nature of what happens when you have a really strong message and you're quote unquote polarizing. But I don't mind going against the grain. I don't mind, you know, being unique or whatever. And so getting really specific has helped me so much. One, because it's really helped me like clarify my messaging and how I market myself, like you said. But also, I just feel more invested in my own mission and my own purpose now that I have that clarity. And so it's definitely been easier in that sense because I can now, you know, create content that's super aligned and that is almost more effortless because it's just me talking and I'm not having to, you know, think as hard or figure out all these different things about what kind of content should I be creating. It's just kind of flowing because I know that message is so clear now and people are really following and I'm really grateful for that. I've kind of been trying to start a little bit of a movement in the online business space. And it's really resonating. And I think that means the most to me because, you know, energy is kind of contagious. And so having other people believe in that and rally behind that has been also such a huge help. But again, none of that could have happened if I didn't really get that clarity on what I really wanted to do here with my business. So totally has changed the game for me.
Totally. And, you know, I think it's a natural evolution that, typically business owners, especially in the service provider space, can start out pretty broad and then narrow in as you work with more clients and as you figure out who you want to serve. So I don't by any means think that your journey is unique in some way, in any way, but who you serve is unique and how you serve them is unique.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's just natural, like you said. I mean, the more experience you have, the more you figure out what you like, what you don't want to do, and just develop, you know, your standard operating procedures and your process and your business model. So I totally agree.
So you mentioned a little bit about what you're doing to generate new business and you hinted at content marketing. And so I'd love to talk about how do you get new eyeballs on your work? How do you get new eyeballs on your business? How do you get in front of new potential customers?
Yeah, honestly, content marketing is a huge part of my business. I'm really utilizing the power of social media. And also in just word of mouth, I've kind of found that my clients just love to tell their friends about me anyways. So I started sort of like an underground affiliate marketing program. And I'm still kind of in the process of building that out because there's a lot of things that, a lot of moving parts when it comes to affiliate marketing. But definitely word of mouth because people are going to talk. And then definitely, like you said, social media, content marketing. Oof, there's a lot there. I'm just really intentional about content marketing and I'm always trying to be creative with my content and innovate how social media can increase my visibility while still just spreading that message that's at the heart of, you know, what I'm doing. And so the way I look at content marketing personally, because I'm, you know, a self-proclaimed storyteller, I also view content marketing as storytelling. And for me, that really helps things come a little bit easier because I just figure out the overall story of my brand. And I'm just sort of communicating that through my content. So it's a little bit easier for me to approach content in that form of like storytelling because each thing I create, I just kind of figure out the common thread and how that links into my story. I literally have a Google sheet where I'm like, this is the idea. How does it fit into the overall story? What are the results? Like I'm just literally trying to organize everything as much as possible into the form of a story because stories really resonate with people. And I also just sort of think in terms of a story. So for me, yeah, I'm definitely using content marketing a lot to tell the story of my brand and to tell the story of how people can, you know, come into this community that I've kind of created or that I'm cultivating right now and be freed and embrace themselves, you know, wholly in their business and in their brands. And so everything I do is really right now, at least it's in that vein. And that's kind of my main effort to push myself out there more and, you know, get those eyes on my business. So, yeah.
So, okay. I saw your underground affiliate marketing kind of link at the footer of your website. And then just a little sneaky pop-up on the top corner of your website. And I just thought that was so smart and such a smart way to dial up your referral system and give some incentive to people to get your name out in front of them. And I just, it's really unique that someone within the first couple of years of their business even thinks about affiliate marketing. So I just thought that was so awesome. And if you aren't following her yet, I would definitely look at Laura Sprinkle. She's a friend of mine. She's created some really big affiliate programs for big names in the business, but she has some really great stuff kind of that can help you turn up your affiliate marketing if you're looking for resources like that. But yeah, I thought that was really smart of you. And you know, I imagine that your clients who are already referring you really appreciate some extra incentive to keep referring you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, most of the time they're doing it anyway. So it's just a token of my appreciation and also just an incentive because it helps you stay top of mind. It helps them get a little bit of free money, you know. So I'll definitely totally look into Laura Sprinkle. Thank you. Please DM me her stuff because I'm totally happy to grow that.
I will. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your content marketing. You mentioned kind of that this really comes naturally to you. And I really think it's when you're thinking about your marketing, it's so important to think about what do you and or your team have the skill set and resources for, and playing in an arena that comes naturally to you makes a lot of sense to me. Otherwise, you're kind of swimming upstream, you know, trying to develop a skill set that maybe you don't have yet. So I know you publish on Instagram. Is there anywhere else that you publish your content right now that you feel like is really working well for you?
Yeah. So I have this email newsletter called Metamorphosis, and it's all about innovation and design and branding and tech, being, you know, socially conscious business owners and just really thought-provoking conversations. I don't even market using it. I literally have a separate email list just for this stuff because I just really love having these conversations and getting people to think differently about things. And that maybe that's just kind of one of my strengths in the arena that I play in, but it's actually really grown itself. You know, people are just kind of joining and hopping in on these conversations, and it's always two ways. I'm always getting responses in the DMs, emails, like it's definitely conversational and it definitely goes both ways. And I just love it because there's no ulterior motive. There's no, you know, selling. It's really just us talking about things. And I think that that's also really valuable when it comes to marketing, because even though I'm not necessarily using it to sell anything, the content that I'm creating is still really getting people to think about branding in a different way. And I think that that's also really powerful. I think that that's also really powerful because I want people to feel empowered when they come and find me to work with me. And so if they're thinking about that and then they're seeing my name, hopefully they can kind of make that connection and feel some resonance there. But apart from that, I am also posting on my blog. So my blog is attached to my website. I'm not doing it as consistently as I should be, but it is a little bit of that kind of, I call it my MVC, like MVP, but my most valuable content that I don't always share on Instagram just because I am a natural writer and captions can get a little lengthy. And I know nobody really has the time for that. So my blog is a good opportunity for me to really dive in deep to some of the topics that I like talking about when it comes to branding. And then other than that, I am also on TikTok. My TikTok is very informal and casual. So if you're looking for something that feels very natural and Gen Z, then you can also check that out for business stuff.
I think that's so awesome. And I just love that you've identified a couple channels where you want to play without trying to be everywhere all at once and focusing on what's highest value for you.
Yeah, totally. I love where I'm at right now. I feel like I'm in a good groove and it's very sustainable. And I think that there can be a lot of pressure to like do all of the things. And sometimes that just doesn't work, especially not when you're in college. So yeah.
No, I mean, the fact that you are on TikTok, Instagram, email, blog, and running your own business is pretty dang impressive while in school. So, So I'd love to talk about your newsletter because that's, I think so often people think an email newsletter has to sell, sell, sell. And in my opinion, part of the purpose of a newsletter is just to stay top of mind and build your authority and build expertise. And in that regards, you are selling. So you don't always have to have super salesy content in email to still find customers or still find clients who are interested in what you do. And I think your approach is really brilliant and kind of indoctrinates people into your brand philosophy and therefore makes them a better client to work with in the future.
Oh, I definitely agree. That's actually a great way of putting it and looking at it because, yeah, exactly what you said. the things that we talk about are, you know, somewhat related, but I'm not creating a lot of salesy content. And that's still okay because it builds that rapport, it builds that community, and it really creates a space for us to have these conversations and start thinking differently. And yeah, like you said, you know, they're kind of seeing my philosophy, and if that's a vision that they can rally behind, then I think that is also a big, I guess, potential to grow my brand loyalty even in a way, because people are going to, you know, have these memories and these conversations with me. And we're just being real people and talking about what we think and believe in. And if we can share things in common that go deeper than just, you know, three tips for this or three tips for that, which are the conversations that we typically have on Instagram, then I think that really builds a foundation for something long term. Because I really do want to build something big and have a large legacy left behind in my business. And so in order to do that, I think we really need to build those relationships that are going to last that long and not just kind of view people as like one-off subscribers, because I'm really trying to cultivate a community here that's going to last a really long time. And so definitely my newsletter has been something that I didn't even think was going to grow into so much potential. I really just started it because I felt like talking about a couple topics, and I didn't think that it was going to grow this much, but it has. And I'm super thankful for it because it's so fun.
Totally. And it takes most people a while to figure out that they need an email newsletter. And I think social is fabulous, but you have a lot more control over your placement in someone's inbox than you do over your placement in the feed. And it's, I almost think of like email as a great way to get, or social as a great way to get eyeballs and get your brand in front of people and introduce them to yourselves. But when you take them into your email inbox, it's a little more intimate, and it's a place where you can deepen the relationship in a way you can't necessarily on social. So I just love how you're layering those two.
Thank you. I totally agree. I almost kind of use the analogy of like dating. Like, you know, people are swiping on Instagram to see if they are going to be interested in your brand. And then once you get them in the email, it's like, okay, now's kind of your time to build that connection and really foster that deep relationship so that you can go somewhere. So I totally love that.
Yeah. And your emphasis on relationship, I think, is also something to learn from, because to your point, like the goal isn't to churn and burn through customer after customer. And as a service provider, especially, a relationship is important to acquiring clients, to keeping clients, to getting referrals. And so if you view your marketing really as building relationships at scale, then I think you'll be, the listeners will be a lot more successful with their marketing versus, hey, I just need to run some Facebook ads and then I get leads and then, you know, they go through a funnel and they become customers. That's great, but that doesn't build a long-term legacy, especially as a service provider, and it doesn't place enough emphasis on the human relationship that needs to be built.
Right. I 100% agree. And I was never very business minded. Again, like I didn't really have an intention to start a business. So some of that stuff can feel kind of alienating to me. I'm definitely into marketing and stuff like that, but it's just the numbers don't really drive me. It's the personal fulfillment. And so having those relationships is all the success that I need, really. I just think that it's, I don't know, maybe it's just me and maybe that's just who I am, but I just feel like those relationships are really the main reason that I'm doing this, you know, because it's really impactful to see something that as a designer that I can just create and it transforms someone else's life. And I think that is absolutely insane. And I think most of the things that I'm doing in marketing and in content and just with my brand almost happen like subconsciously, which might be kind of a bad thing. Maybe I need to wake up and be a little bit more intentional, but they're kind of just natural. Like I've just kind of always been a people person. I've always been a creative. I've always been a writer. And it just goes back to the idea of playing off of your strengths. Everybody's business and everybody's marketing strategy, it's going to look different. And this is just kind of what's, you know, happened for me. And so I'm glad it has because it's working. But I think definitely just going back to the roots of who you are and what you're good at is super important.
Couldn't say it any better. So I have a couple final questions for you to wrap up this episode. So you mentioned that you started working with a business coach, and do you feel like that fast-tracked things for you or fast-tracked some learnings that maybe would have taken you longer if you did it on your own?
Oh, absolutely. We like went full force. We talked about everything from, you know, the foundations, content, launching, lead gen, processes, onboarding, offboarding. So we really covered a lot, and I didn't know a single thing at first, but in those 3 months, it was just like rapidly learning. And I also just made it such a point to learn so much from social media. I know there's a lot of stigma and a lot of conversation to be had around free content, but like, I am a learner. So if I'm going to learn something, if I want to learn something, I'm going to learn it. And I've learned a lot, like 80% of what I know is from social media content. And it has been really great. I mean, sometimes you just have to be resourceful and do that. And I am investing in, you know, coaches and marketing experts and things like that too. But I definitely just made it a point to learn. And so I've only been in business for about 6 months now, and I'm like learning something every day. And I definitely feel like I'm kind of on a fast track in that way. But yeah, having a coach to start my business was monumental. It was totally instrumental in the process, because a lot of people start their business and then they invest in a coach. But my coach was the reason that I started my business. And so it was a totally different vantage point. And it just helped me because she's such a superstar. She really knows what she's doing. And she also held a lot of space for me to be authentic. And so I couldn't have done it without that, I guess, that perspective and that insight from her.
Yeah. Well, I just think that's such a gift. Some of the things you've learned, it takes many people years to learn, and a few bumpy roads along the way. So, you know, and the fact that you're doing this as a sophomore in college is just incredible.
Thank you. It is really crazy. I just kind of can't fathom it sometimes, but I'm very grateful.
Yeah. So if you were to give advice to someone who's a little earlier on than you, so about 6 months earlier on, who's thinking about starting their own business, possibly in the design space, is there anything that from a marketing and or just, you know, owning your own business standpoint, advice that you'd give to that person?
I think I would say to really build your brand. And maybe that's just because everything I do is branding related now, so that's all I can think of. But honestly, especially as a service provider, your brand is key to everything, right? If you don't have a clear brand, your marketing is not going to make sense. And it's probably not going to work long term, because my marketing ties into my brand. And that's just kind of how it works. You know, they work hand in hand. And so if you don't have an established brand, then it's not going to be a good time for anything involving business. And the reason I say this also is especially for service providers is because anyone can do a service, but not anyone can do it the way you can. And not everybody thinks about it the way that you can. I know that I'm not the best graphic designer in the online space. And my clients, honestly, sometimes they don't even look at my work. They don't even know what they're getting in a package. They work with me because they want to work with me. And I think that's the true power of a brand. It's like I said, you know, I say it all the time, stand out just by being you. And it sounds fluffy and it sounds kind of romantic and dreamy, but it's honestly true. You are your superpower. You are the secret sauce in your business. And that's what a brand is. And so if you can identify that, you know, uniqueness, and if you can identify your superpower and create a brand around that, create a way for your audience to experience that, then everything else will kind of fall into place because you have a strong foundation. But again, on the flip side, if you don't have that, it's going to be a lot harder for you to try to get those clients, to pump out content. It's really a domino effect. I mean, if you don't have that brand as a foundation, you're going to be hustling left and right, trying to find all the things, trying to quote unquote throw spaghetti at the wall and hoping something sticks, because you don't have that foundation that allows for people to keep coming back naturally.
Wow, that's just amazing, Shine. So I so appreciate you sharing your advice, your journey, what's been working for you, maybe what didn't work as well in the beginning. And I just really appreciate your time and coming here on this podcast to share with our guests or to share with our listeners. So for everyone who's listening, where can they find you online if they want to check out more about your services, what you do, or even just follow your amazing content?
Yeah, you can come find me on my website, designedbyshine.com. Also, I'm on Facebook at designedbyshine and Instagram at designedbyshine. Definitely come hang out with me. If you listened to this episode and you found me from here, please send me a DM, because that'll make my day. And yeah, there's lots of different things for you to get plugged into. Like I said, you know, email. I even do like a little text tips messaging. So like I'll send you design tips straight to your phone number and stuff like that. So there's a lot to get plugged into. I'm very big on community, if you couldn't tell. But please come find me. I'm pretty much just Designed by Shine on everything.
Amazing. So those links will be in the show notes to this episode at marketingthatgenerates.com. And I do want to highlight that Shine is S-H-Y-N-E.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.